Peace, what's going on? It's your boy C.Versi here for another episode of the Talking to Myself podcast, where once again, if no one is listening, all I'm doing is talking to myself. This episode, this podcast is sponsored by Poddex. Poddex are a unique way to make your podcast more fun. If you're having trouble finding a starting point, whatnot, a Poddex has different theme decks that'll help you get started. I'm working off of the episode deck. It contains 50 unique episode starting prompts to help you stay inspired and consistently releasing great podcast content. Kind of struggled through that one. Yeah, that intro used to go smoother than that. Let's pull from the middle of the deck and see what this says. Talk about your favorite famous dead person. Man, that's easy. Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson is very easily my favorite famous dead person. I have a Thriller jacket at home. I definitely wear it on Halloween, but sometimes I wear it just to go grocery shopping, just because I have it. Michael Jackson is like my earliest musical memory. Family members that I still in touch with, or family members that knew me as a baby, very young, basically, would get me Michael Jackson tapes or CDs on my birthday every year. And when I was a kid, MTV used to do this thing every August, before I realized that was his birthday, where he basically got the channel all day for a month, or at least 2 weeks, where it was nothing but the Jacksons, Michael Jackson, and mixing in Janet as well. Every August. So every summer, I knew that was going to happen on MTV, VH1, etc. Huge Michael Jackson fan. Never made it to a concert, but I'll never forget the Rose Bowl performance, Super Bowl halftime show. I actually have a sweatshirt with him on it from that performance. Pardon me. Yeah, I have a sweatshirt with me, not with me, with Michael Jackson on it performing at that Super Bowl halftime show. I know exactly where I was at when he died. I was sitting in Eagle Rock at a Mexican food restaurant. I just came from picking up tickets. I used to have to pick up my tickets from the office at Princeton. They have one office. I think they still have one office. Anyway, it was in Eagle Rock. It's not now. They're on Wilshire. They've gotten bigger. Yeah, that's where I was at when he died. When I was in elementary school, there was a girl that I liked that was a huge Michael Jackson fan. At recess, I would sing his songs to her, or at least the lyrics that I thought I knew at the time. When I got older, I realized that some of those songs I didn't know the lyrics as well as I thought I did, and I was singing the wrong thing. But it didn't matter. I had that young kid singer voice like that kids have. It wasn't like anything super special. Kids just can sing, and it is what it is. And she dug that shit. One of my favorite books, it was definitely the biggest book that I probably have owned. It was a biography on Michael Jackson written by this guy named Randy something. He had a long last name. I got it from Hastings, which is a bookstore, or was a bookstore in I got it in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but it was a chain. I don't know if it's still around, but it basically was it was Barnes & Noble when I was a kid. Before I knew what Barnes & Noble's was, there was Hastings, and they sold books and movies and CDs. So it was a one-stop shop for all of those things. I don't know what else I can say about him. I don't like the Flex movie where Flex is playing him. I think that's a terrible thing. I don't like anything like negative about Michael. I'm not really supporting. I'm not I'm not overzealous with it though. Like, I'm not, I'm not overzealous with it. I'm not gonna fight you over a Michael Jackson opinion, but I will say that them releasing the Thriller video in 4K is awesome. That video is amazing. And I went back and listened to the Thriller album again after not hearing like any Michael Jackson in a while. I was thinking like, well, was I just being a super fan? Like, is it really that good? And yes, it's still the greatest album of all time, for sure, hands down. Like, I don't know what I was thinking that I was overthinking it. Oh, that's another thing. When I was younger, like late middle school, the 12 CDs for a penny, 12 books for a penny, or however that went, used to kill that. And my first order, my order had Janet Jackson, Design of a Decade, Michael Jackson, Thriller's album, Puff Daddy and the Family, and Mace's album. Oh, Mariah Carey, the Butterfly album. So it was like 5 CDs for a penny. the penny that I never paid for, shipping and handling, etc. But yeah, there's always been some Michael. That's it. That's all. I don't want to be too long-winded on this. That is the pod next question of the day or of the episode. Talk about your favorite famous dead person. And I didn't even have to think hard about it. Michael Jackson, hands down, favorite dead person. Wish he was still here. Wish he could have gone out the way that he wanted to. But it is what it is. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the next segment, but let's pay some bills. Or am I just talking to myself? Peace. Peace, what's going on? It's your boy C. Versi back for another episode, or another segment, I'm sorry, of the Talking to Myself podcast. So just jumping right into it, we are dealing with some Balenciaga bullshit. So this morning, or I don't know when it got released, but this morning it was brought to all of our attention. Balenciaga put out a photo shoot campaign for their backpack. Sorry, let me silence that. They have a teddy bear bag. So it's like a stuffed teddy bear, like a Care Bear. It's colorful. It's not like brown. They're all colorful. But they have on like bondage clothes, like leather and lace, colorful eyeshadow. And in the photo shoot campaign, there is a young kid. I assume to be a little white girl. Could be a little white boy, but let's go with, let's just say little white kid. In a person's house, maybe not theirs. And in another shot, there is a dining room table in the house. It has all these papers on it. And one of the papers is related to child pornography and Alex Ashcroft. Trying to look it up real quick. I mean, but anyway, maybe this is it. Nope, that's not it. But anyway, there was a paper on the table in the photo shoot that was related to like child porn, like something that was trying to be passed in, or related to some kind of child crime, right? Like, you know, of all the papers in the world to place purposely in a photo shoot setting, why would you have something related to nasty kid shit, right? Why do you have this singular kid? There's no other adults, which seems to be possibly a pedophile's house, because why would you have that paper on the table unless, you know what I'm saying, unless you're a pedophile? Like, pedophiles have other, like, pedophile people's stuff around. Like, I don't know this from personal experience, but every time that they catch them, and you read the report, they have like other, they have other people shit around. Like they're in a network and they've got other people shit around. So if that's your, if that's what you were into, you would have, you know, paperwork and shit around. You would have literature around that tries, that would make sense to that type of person, legitimizing what you're doing, right? There's no, all that to say that there's no reason at all that it was in the ad. Very thoughtless and careless. My thought is that because it wasn't like Balenciaga's team that did this, they hired someone creative to do this. That the person that they hired needs to be questioned and looked at, because they knew what they were doing in the setup. If you're not in that frame of mind, you would have no idea to look for those things. Yeah, so I don't know how long the campaign was sitting, or, you know what I'm saying, before they released it, how many people it went through, but I would imagine it has to go through a lot of people, creatives and the ideas and the heads and the people that sign off on it, then goes in. That's just the design on things. Just in, now we're talking in general. Someone thinks of it, draws it, sends it to somebody for approval, it gets a yes. After they've done the calculations on the production, it goes into production. So, you know, there's a lot of hands that it has to go through. And there's always a lot of, so there's a lot of checks and balances that should happen. But in this instance, I don't even think you know what to look for until somebody pointed it out. Like, it took a video, I didn't see the photo shoots before, but it, when I woke up to that social media clip of a news anchor breaking that down, I was like, yeah, that's it. There's no conspiracy here. He didn't have to convince me. Like, it, I see what I see, and it is exactly what it looks like. That's very... It's just weird. That person needs to be found. And I bet if you were to go in their computer that you would find a lot of the same things that you found in Jared from Subway. A lot of the same things that you found in his computer, you'll probably find in that, whoever did the Balenciaga campaign. But it's just weird that these high-end lines continue to fuck up globally, culturally, when again there should be so many checks and balances that go into place that these things shouldn't happen, but they continuously do. H&M and their sweater, the black kid in the monkey sweater, the coolest monkey in the jungle sweater, that should have been an easy call. Gucci, it's always got some shit going. I don't, separate from this thing, I don't like any of the Dapper Dan things that they bring in. They brought in Dapper Dan to try to fix the relationship between Gucci and the African Americans, or just, you know, with blacks across the world. I don't want to limit it to African Americans, but they brought in Dapper Dan to help repair the damage that had been done to the relationship between Gucci and black people. Right, we never stopped buying it, obviously, but at some point something happened. They tried to copy Dap's designs. We noticed it, called them out for it, and they had to hire Dap to repair that. The bad side of that is that all of his fucking designs suck. Nasty work. The only thing I've liked that he's done was a collab with Gap, and that was really just, it was so simple, it wasn't even like he had to do anything. Just change that G to a D, and man, I'd pay resale prices for that. So let me get off that. I don't like that. I don't like what H&M did. Balenciaga as a whole, even without this bear, I don't like their get down. I don't like the way that they push weird shit for expensive prices. They have, I don't know how many pairs there are, but they're known to put out a pair of shoes that are beat up, made purposely dirty with like fake gum on them and everything. Just a beat up ass rundown shoe with holes in it and everything, and they're charging you out the ass for it. They're selling trash bags like a purse and charging you out the ass for it. Right before this report, I seen the new couch that that's out now. It's already sold out in many sizes. It comes in small, medium, and large. Prices range from $18,000 to $46,000, and it's really just a bunch of different Balenciaga monogram fabrics over some wood. They said there was wood in there, but it just looks like fabric stacked on top of each other. But I guess the wood is what makes it a bench and not a couch. So yeah, they're not, I don't believe that they're pushing the envelope fashion wise. I don't believe they are pushing any kind of cultural things forward. I love what Kanye is, or I don't know if he's going to do it, but what he's showing us and says he's going to do with all the Balenciaga that he's bought and rebranded as Ye 24 and selling for $20. Beautiful way to say fuck you guys and I don't care. But getting back to the actual topic, that shit was weird. They issued an apology, and we'll see how this goes. Like, I can accept the apology no problem if they let us know who designed the shoe. So let us know who designed the, who was the set designer, whose idea was that, who's the creative director for the photo shoot, and we can remove you guys from it if it's someone that doesn't work for you guys. But if he does, oh man, we coming back. And we will revisit this when we get some more information. That's all I have for you right now. I actually have to get up and go do a Uber Eats order. Where am I going? Pine and Crane. All right, let me get out of here and I'll come back and give you another segment. But that's it. That's all. Or am I just talking to myself? Peace, what's going on? Back for another segment of the Talking to Myself podcast, where once again, if no one is listening, all I'm doing is talking to myself. So I believe I might have a cure or a partial solution for the homelessness situation that we have going on here in California, and it might work in other places too. I'm sorry, I was looking at myself on camera. Lips is looking kind of dry. This plan might work in other areas. So here's what's going on. Frontier, the airline, has decided to sell their all access pass for $6.99, $7.99. It is normally, what's the normal price? $1,200. Jeez, where's the normal price? The normal price is something like $1,100, $1,200. So basically, it's half off if you buy it. Well, they go on sale on November 28th. It was $6.99 a year, and I'm on the website now, and it says $7.99. Oh, ass niggas. Oh, that's what it is. Damn, they don't raise the price. So $7.99 a year, and it renews at $19.99 a year. The renewal price was not $19.99 a couple days ago, but whatever. So for that price, you can fly an unlimited amount of times. You have to search, I believe, the day before the flight. If it's domestic, you can search 10 days before if it's international, which is fine for me because I don't mind like being last minute. I fly solo and light, like with a backpack full of things. So for me, that's really helpful because I don't need much. Like, I believe they're going to be charging for bags, which is fine because I just have my backpack. There is a penny that you have to pay in airfare, plus whatever the taxes and fees are. It says charges at the time of booking. I don't know what that means. But when you book it, you get your options like your bags, your seats, and other stuff like that. Flights are available 300 plus days a year. My thing is that, because a lot of people don't like Frontier, I don't care. I'll fly whatever, if as long as it's safe and it gets me there. A lot of people are talking down on this pass because they don't like Frontier. yeah, I really don't care. But here's, let's get back to what was supposed to be the topic. I'm getting kind of lost in the details of this past. I believe we should give passes, not to all the homeless, but allow them to get make a certain amount of passes available for the homeless to purchase. So instead of getting them that 220 or whatever it is that you get on GR, give them an all access pass and make the guidelines to where your hygiene has to be in order to fly. They can figure that out in some other location. If you tell them that the requirement is you have to be clean in order to fly, there's enough, at least in LA, there's enough showers around, there's enough options around for a shower to get them clean for a flight. So I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying just throw smelly, belligerent, drugged out, drunk, whatever, disenfranchised people on these planes. My plan is to make them available for the people who, well, not who want them, because we want them to get it. Then it's not even on their mind. Just make a certain amount available, have some requirements in place and whatever your sign-on process is, and let them just, you know, travel the world. They can get up every day and just travel the U.S. And if they want to go outside the country, just need to plan 10 days ahead of time. But I believe if we instill in them that, hey, you can fly anywhere 300 plus days a year, there are some blackout dates, I don't think they would necessarily turn that down. What they are turning down are the tiny homes that we've built for the homeless. So in like LA County, there's about 500 and something tiny homes that were made available for the homeless and disenfranchised, and they're having trouble filling the beds because of the requirements. Like, I believe there's a curfew, and obviously you can't be in the use of drugs, so there's a lot of people who would rather be on the streets. We are heading into winter. We don't get snow down here in LA, but we get rain. It's very cold and wet for them. The Olympics, I believe, are coming here next, like 2 years from now. So what happens when the Olympics come to your city is the city will clean the streets up. They will get rid of, they will find somewhere for the homeless to go. So rather than just pushing them to the outskirts, because what they did in the 90s was push a lot of people to Lancaster and Palmdale and Riverside, i.e. shit like that. I don't want them to just try to make them disappear, but I believe if we give them these options and with some more information, like, hey, let them know where you're going so you can get some, they'll give you a list of like eateries and places you can sleep when you touch down, like that. So you're not just getting off a plane and lost in the sauce. You get me? But they don't want to do these tiny homes that in these, there's about five different parks they took over and put 100 and maybe 200 tiny homes in. And these look really nice. I've seen them myself. But they, like I said, they don't want to go. And we got to do something. I don't want to see the homeless out here getting hurt. Because I'm out here downtown every day. I'm really close to Skid Row. I pass through Skid Row on a daily basis. It's not my favorite place. It is very overrun. This is where the homeless come from all over the U.S. because it's warm here year-round, basically. Like, you'd rather be homeless here than Chicago, New York, Seattle. So they all come here. I mean, that's why LA is the homeless capital, or California in general is the homeless capital of the U.S. So, I don't know what the outline, you know, of this project would look like and how to roll it out. This is just a loose idea that I threw out to my best friend Denise, I think, yesterday. But like, I was trying to put myself in their shoes. If someone said, hey, here's a discounted all-access flight pass so you can get around the country, you would totally do that. Because as of right now, a lot of them are just riding around on the train, just riding back and forth. I mean, just getting into trouble when they're doing drugs, or someone, they see somebody else is doing drugs that they don't know, and they form a bond and friendship over that. I see it like every day, these strangers bonding over the most terrible illegal things. And I don't know, man. I want to see them do better. I don't know how to help everybody, but I think that'd be an interesting idea. Because I like to fly. If you follow me, then you know I like flying on jets. But they raised the price on the all access unlimited flights pass for the jets, like to a price that's just not even close to being within my budget, like more than double what it was. It was like $1,000 a month, and now it's like $2,400 a month if you want to fly unlimited on the jet that you've seen me flying on. If you want to get up every day and get on the jet, it's like $2,400 a month. Not even close to that being within my budget. But here's the other thing with this Frontier Pass. So like I was saying, a lot of people don't even like Frontier, but a lot of us didn't even know that there was such a thing as an all-access unlimited flight pass. So it's going to lead a lot of us to look for who else has other passes currently. And what I feel like is going to happen next is a lot of other airlines are going to have to offer the same type of pass. It's kind of like when McDonald's came out with their value menu, or whoever it was that came out with the $5 box where you got like a couple food items and a drink, like a whole little meal for $5. I think it was KFC, but whoever did that first forced all the other fast food restaurants to also come up with a $5 box, and then it got lower and it was a $4 box. And then it just like, all right, well, now we all got a value menu. So when one does it in a really big way and the masses follow, the rest of the companies are going to have to do the same thing if they haven't done it already. Like, I don't even know who else has a all access pass, but I'm going to look into it. Or you just, wait it out, because they're going to have to roll it out next year. Like, traveling next year is going to be fun. Like, waking up and going to New York for pizza, or going to Louisiana for some crawdash. I don't want to keep naming cities, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I am going to fuck this pass up. Like, as soon as I get a new schedule with my kids, I'm planning flights like crazy next year. And that's the other thing, these don't start until May. Like, if you buy the pass when it's available after November 28th, it's the 22nd today, you can't use it until May 2nd, which is fine. Like, I'm going to make it worth that, because it's just me. I'm catching at least 2 planes a month, and that adds up. So I'm going to kill this pass for sure. And I'm going to put some razzle dazzle on this travel for the homeless plan and see how I can pitch it to Frontier or the LA County services, the people that where you go to get your EBT card and stuff. It's all about, honestly, the presentation of it and rolling it out the right way. Maybe get One United involved. I don't know in what capacity. I think it just takes a bigger brand to help with the awareness. Like, I come up with ideas, but I would love to pass this on to a corporation that could totally take it out of my hands. That is it. That is all. Make sure that you like and subscribe, or am I just talking to myself? Peace. Okay, so we are live here at Slate with Crimson. He just got off stage not too long ago. Gonna ask him a few questions. So, where are you from?
Phoenix, Arizona, originally.
You've been out here for 11 years, you said?
11 years, went to school for 4, and been chilling in San Francisco for the last 7.
So, what school did you go to?
Stanford.
What was your major?
Civil engineering and mechanical engineering.
What got you into those?
Oh, man, I just love buildings, dude. I mean, tall buildings, architecture, bridges, everything.
Okay, cool. So, for the people that weren't here for the performance, like, he mentioned his majors before, and I was super interested because my major is also civil engineering. So, that's not something that you hear a lot of. So, when he said it, I was super, super intrigued. So, like, despite the fact that I had already booked him here for tonight, hearing his major made me super intrigued. But let's get back to the music. As far as your music is concerned, like, what are you working on?
Okay, so I'm working on, we got to talk about more about civil engineering.
Yeah, no, no.
Eventually.
No, you know what? Let's do it now. Let's do it now. So what got you into civil engineering?
So I like buildings. I like tall buildings, but it sounded like that you're more of like urban planning. And that also got me intrigued, actually. I think it's really interesting. So I took a bunch of urban planning classes in school. And in the 1900s, people just built how they built. And they never really thought about how... the width of the street, the lights on the street. They call it eyes on the street. If you can see the street, it's a safer street. So, and sometimes when you have smaller nicks and crannies in buildings, just the angle of buildings can actually raise crime rate is what I learned in class. Yeah. And so there's different ways that you can architect buildings and projects to actually make it safer. So we can get into that later, but it's really interesting because you can do your structural engineering, which is like the loads and stuff on the building, but you can actually engineer the angles and the sidewalks to make it a safer area of town. And equally, I was intrigued about that with the number crunching. There was a ton of number crunching about structural engineering.
The
urban planning is what's really cool, because if you do it right, you can make a fantastic city where people are living in harmony, taking public transportation, the whole deal.
I fuck with that. That's real spill. My whole thing was with urban planning was, I mentioned it to you before, but I'll say it again for the podcast. I wanted to see less liquor stores. I wanted to see less check cashing and more banks. I feel like when you're in the urban areas, the inner city, there's a whole bunch of check cashing places, but not enough bank branches
right.
for, like, if you work a job, like, the check that they give you is for a certain branch. But, you know, when we live in these urban areas, all we have is check and go and check in the cash and just check cashing places. It's not enough banks. It's not enough emphasis on, like, credit building and stuff like that. When you go to buy a home, they want to know what bank are you with? Right. How long have you been with that bank? Do you have a credit history, et cetera? Yeah. So, you know, outside of music, that urban planning was something that was super important to me. But, like, you're further along than I am. Like it's just a thought with me. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm taking some classes, but, like, you're further along. It's your actual major. So that was dope.
Yeah, well, so, and real quick to say that, so I'm probably, and this isn't to toot my own horn, this is to make the point, I'm probably one of the most book smart, book educated people you will meet. But what I've learned about that is you can crunch numbers and have an equation, but that doesn't teach you how to live your life. That doesn't teach you wisdom. That doesn't teach you savings. And so my wish is that the education system would be revamped, retweaked to less equations and more real life stuff, like what you said. So can we teach people how to save? Can we teach people how to invest? Because $10 invested 5 years from now is going to serve you more purpose than $10 at the liquor store or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's too bad that we don't have like a life planning course, a 401k course, how to spend your money course in school, when they're teaching us like the associative property of triangles and how to like divide by X plus Y. Really? You should be telling us how to save money and how to invest and what a 401k is and how to do your resume and stuff. And you know, why communities are sometimes downtrodden and why some communities are, you know, really living well. And so, yeah, I mean, that's another tangent, but I mean, it kind of goes along with the urban plan. It kind of goes along with the urban planning stuff, is that like, what is our education system becoming when, like you said, there should be more banks on the block versus more liquor stores?
Yeah, no. I totally fuck with that tangent that you're on. That's really dope. That's not the the typical tangent that I get from artists going to this interview. That's why I didn't say anything. I was just like, oh, man, he's talking that shit.
Right.
So it's dope that you're into urban planning. It's dope that you have a real thought process behind it. And you're right. Like, there are certain things that need to go into effect. Like, for instance, I'm not from San Francisco. I'm from the L.A. area, but somebody was telling me, like, yo, when you go back up to San Francisco, pay attention to how many, there's not as many power lines in San Francisco as you see in L.A. So, like, looking around right now, Like, for sure, like, the only power lines that you really have is for that bus.
Yeah, the Muni. Yeah.
So it's not like you don't have as many power lines around. So I noticed that on an urban planning field.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, outside of music. So some small shit that I know. So so between me and you, like, on relation, like, I noticed that shit. Like, you're really into it. You said some things here that I really picked up on that shows that you're, like, you're really taking classes on it. But let's get back to the music.
Let's do it.
What are you working on currently?
Okay, so I'm always in the studio. I hit up the studio once or twice a week, as all artists should. Working on new music. So I dropped an album in May, and I went into the studio to work on new music after that, probably like 3 or 4 weeks after. So every artist should be working on new music. No matter if you're dropping new stuff or you're promoting an album, always have something on deck. So two songs into this new album, and I go to the studio every week, and hope to drop singles early next year.
All right, awesome. So we were talking about distribution earlier. I'm fucking with Empire right now. You're fucking with CD Baby. We both have an understanding of what DistroKid is doing. Let's speak towards, like, what's got you focusing on distribution instead of focusing on a record deal.
Okay, so that's a very interesting point. So, I mean, record deals are ideal, because they have money behind you, but they only give, you know, 5 a year, let's call it. There's very few numbers that they give to people like you and me. But what we can do is we can do word of mouth. So when you're on every single platform, no matter who pulls out their phone, they're going to have Apple Music. They're going to have Spotify. And what I've learned is you go to these you know, venues that we just performed at, or you go to a house party or whatever, you get their phone, you get their Instagram, you get their Spotify, you save their music, and then they're already a fan because you put them in their phone. And when I got on these, you know, DistroKid, CD Baby, it gives you a sense of legitimacy, right? And so you can, you know, save your shit onto anybody's phone.
That's facts. So, once again, I'm here with Crimson. We are live at Slate in San Francisco for That Little Rap Show, show that I'm doing state to state, city to city. And just to prove his point, we are going to head back into this venue. We're going to speak to all these people. We're going to exchange Instagrams and whatnot. So I'm going to end this interview now. But shout out to Crimson for showing up. He performed. He put on a dope set. It was 22 minutes long. I'm going to look him up on SoundCloud. I want to point out that he had a song with The Game.
Yep.
That while you were performing, I looked you up on SoundCloud. I favorited the song with The Game.
Let's
So I just want to point out, there's a lot of people here tonight. You're the only person here, I'm sure, without talking to anybody. You're the only person here with a song, with a feature from The Game.
Yes, sir.
So that's a big deal. Like, you know, me and you might talk like it's a small thing, but I feel like that's a big ass deal. You're the only person here tonight with a song, with a feature from The Game. And you performed it, and we heard his voice. So I'm going to go ahead and end this interview. We're going to head back inside. We're going to trade Instagrams and whatnot with the people inside. You're listening to Talking to Myself, the podcast, because if no one else is listening, that's all I'm doing is talking to myself. So thank you for listening. Make sure that you like and subscribe. And that's it. Peace.
Let's go.
Hey. Oh, no. Before we leave, where can they find you?
So my name is Crimson, K-R-I-M-Z-O-N. On Instagram, it's Crimson Music. On Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, Crimson Music, K-R-I-M-Z-O-N.
All right. Make sure that you look up the Talking to Myself podcast, like and subscribe. Peace.
Crimson going in this bitch, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Told you one time I'm the man in the city. Three bad biddies and they all get litty. Hate to say it, but your flow is shitty. And they call me a dog, but I'm all about the kitty. When I was young, wanna be like Fitty. Her ass be fat, so her tits bitty bitty. Nice guy looks, but the flow is gritty. And she want a new slap, so I had to make it ditty.
Spotify checks, looking at pause and he say what's next. They don't even know I got a banger on deck, so I cue this up and they break their necks. She had no idea that I rap this wet. Funny how they think that I work in tech. Flow so hot but I show no sweat. If you think it's a game, then I'll rap to the death. Haters be ugly, I can't even speak to you. Go on one date and we talking about me and you. Talking that way, I be talking about leaving you. Making this money, it's hard to be seeing you. All these dudes just hate me. I've been flowing since 03. Hat load like I'm Jay-Z. Sorry if your girl wants to date me.
Let it smoke.
Let it smoke.
We got the gas.
We got the gas, homie.
We got the gas.
We got the gas.
Let it smoke. 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 We got the gas.
We got the gas.
Let it smoke.
Okay, listen up, you should know what's up. I be blowing up, tell a friend I'm coming up. Never been the type to back down, never been the type to pipe down. Looking at the crowd, they hype now, it's my time, it's right now. Here I go again, they like that Raj on the beat now with the hi-hat. Hopping on stage, hair all slick back, flow so nasty, how'd you miss that? Like a masterpiece, yeah, she's into me. Why you mad at me? Yeah, she's my wife-to-be. True to my word, ain't no question about it. I get on the stage and they crowding around it. You give me a mic, ain't no living without it. I'm shooting my shot, you can already count it. Crimson kicking, killer flow. Catch you slipping, yeah, we know. See me sipping kinda slow. Another hit, I'm on a roll. Earning respect every word that I say. Never cheated the game to just get my own way. Funny how people get paid to be fake, but I studied the greats and I'm ready to stay.
Let it smoke.
Yeah, finish him.
Let it smoke.
Light up the smoke.
We got the gas.
We got the gas, homie.
We got the gas.
We got the gas.
Let it smoke, 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 let it smoke. We got the gas,
we got the gas,
let it smoke. Light up the smoke.
Yeah. Finish him. Finish him.
Light up the smoke.
Light up the smoke. Light up the smoke.
We got the gas.
We got the gas.
We got the gas.
We got the gas.
Light up the smoke. 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 We got the gas.
We got the gas.
Light up the smoke.
Yes.